that has led to the false celebration of Christmas. As Charlie Brown tries to understand the true meaning of Christmas, he buys a pitiful Christmas tree for the Christmas play that he is directing. When he brings it on the stage, he puts it down and the needles all fall off of the Christmas tree. And as that happens, all the kids around him criticize him for once again making a big mess. In frustration, Charlie Brown shouts out, "Does anyone know the true meaning of Christmas?" That's when our friend Linus shows up, and it is here where he informs us of the true meaning of Christmas by reciting the passage that we're about to read. So let's look at this passage and see what the true meaning of Christmas is. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Like Charles Schultz, I believe this passage is the key to celebrating Christmas. The obvious focus of this passage is that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus, God's only begotten Son, coming down to this earth to live a perfect sinless life and to sacrifice his life on the cross so that we could have eternal life. He sacrificed his life on the cross and rose again so that we could have our sins forgiven and so that we could have eternal life and live with Jesus forever and ever. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and ask him to forgive us of our sins and pay for our sins through his shed blood that he shed on the cross, we obtain eternal life. That is the good news of Christmas. That is the glad tidings. That is what we celebrate Christmas for, because it marks the time where Jesus came to pay for our sins and give us eternal life. And that is truly worth celebrating for. It is a wonderful, wonderful message of hope and joy to our souls. When we realize that it's not just what we see on earth that we have to look forward to, but we have an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. That is our hope. That is what makes life worth living. Not that we have so much on this earth, but what we have to come, eternal life with Jesus Christ, with no more pain, no more sin, no more sorrow. When we realize we have that as our hope and that as our future, then we have great peace and great joy afforded to us. Now, there is another aspect of this passage that will help us celebrate Christmas properly. I want you to notice that God made a point to reach out to some normally forgotten people to help celebrate this very special occasion. God showed his care for others when he reached out to the shepherds as he celebrated the birth of Jesus. Being involved in the lives of others in a caring way is a big part of what Christmas is all about. Let me repeat that. Being involved in the lives of others in a caring way is a big part of what Christmas is all about. So today I would like us to look at how God reached out to the shepherds in order to show us how to truly celebrate Christmas as we reach out to others. So let's look at this passage and see how we can truly celebrate Christmas as we reach out to others. Look at verse 10 again. Verse 10 says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.'" Now, we can truly celebrate Christmas by helping others emotionally. We can truly celebrate Christmas by helping others emotionally. Notice the phrase, "do not be afraid." We see the very first thing the angel of the Lord does for the shepherds is to calm their fears. You know, Christmas time can be an emotionally hard time for many people. Think about that for a minute. Christmas time can be an emotionally hard time for many people. The pain of being hurt by someone may come to their minds, and the sting is there a little more during Christmas. The loss of loved ones becomes more apparent and painful during the Christmas season. The extra burden put on people, either financially or time-wise, can bring them down emotionally. So a great way for us to celebrate Christmas is by helping people emotionally. How do we do this? How do we help people emotionally? Turn your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. It's after 2 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 2 and verse... Galatians chapter 6 in verse 2. I'm sorry, Galatians chapter 6 in verse 2. We're given a clear command here from the Lord in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We help people emotionally by bearing their burdens with them. Now, how do we do this? We get involved in their lives. We actually get involved in their lives. Now, how do we get involved in their lives? Well, first of all, by listening to them. By listening to them. You know, some people, when they are hurting, really one of the only things they want is someone to listen to them and really care about what they're saying. That can mean so much to someone that we would take the time to actually listen to their burdens, to the things that concern them, to the things that are weighing them down, to the hurts that they have in their heart. Understand something, that is a great way to help people bear their burdens, simply by listening to them. Then by giving them some spiritual insight. You know, as Bible-believing Christians who have the wisdom of God at their disposal through the Word of God, the Bible, We have a wonderful gift that we can share with others to help them with their burdens. And maybe you were experiencing the same kind of burden that that person is experiencing, and you can relate to them, and you can show them a scripture that helped you when you had that problem. That is a wonderful way to help people bear a burden. And then by praying with them, a wonderful way that I have found out more and more as I walk the walk of this life, is that praying with people, showing them that you care enough to go to Almighty God and pray to God for them and with them, is a great way to help people bear their burden. That is something that we need to do. And I believe that we can do these things and really celebrate Christmas the way the Lord wants us to. And then by being kind to them. People need someone to show them real love, Christ-like love, by being kind to them. And being kind to them even when they might not really, quote, deserve our kindness. To reach out to someone that may be hurting or reacting in a bitter way towards us with kindness can really show the Christmas spirit, the spirit that the Lord wants us to display. And then by being there for them and letting them know you care. Sometimes just being with someone in their burdens and being there in times of need can really be a wonderful blessing. All these things are ways that we can truly help people emotionally. And that's how we can really celebrate Christmas in a great way. We can help them. So you may be experiencing emotional hardships this Christmas season. You may be experiencing some emotional hardships this season. I want you to know there is someone who wants to help you bear those burdens. His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, Almighty God, wants to help you bear your burdens. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus himself said this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, Jesus wants to help you emotionally. He wants to help you in your life. He wants to take you along and help you through those difficult hardships, through those emotional pains. And he will, as you get to know him better and the care he has for you, you will see that he will bear your burdens. You don't have to bear your burdens alone. Jesus Christ wants to bear your burdens. He wants you to rely on him. Not only that, Jesus is the one who will give you the strength to help others emotionally and bear their burdens. You may be saying, "You know, I'm so emotionally distressed myself, I don't know how in the world I could ever help somebody else out." But understand something. It's about you being used by the Lord Jesus to help others. It's about you being helped by the Lord Jesus and giving you strength to deal with the emotional hardships you have to the point where you can actually help others. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about you having such a personal relationship with the Lord that you gain a joy and peace that passes all understanding and helps you do whatever God wants you to do, including helping others in their lives. That's the wonderful thing about God. And when you do that, you find that you will have a peace and joy that exceeds your own self-involvement. And what I mean by that is this. So many times we get distressed and emotionally put down because we're just focusing on ourselves. But when we get our focus off ourselves and we get it on Jesus and all that He has promised us and all the things that He wants to do for us and all the care that He has for us, and we give our cares to Him, then the focus becomes Him and what He wants and what He wants to do in our lives. And then we're able to focus on others. And you know what I find when I focus on others? I stop thinking about my problems and I'm able to help others. And when you forget about your problems, you become emotionally stable and happier. You really do. And that's what Jesus is offering you. He's offering you to take on His yoke so that you can be released of your burdens and so that He can help you with your life to the point where you can be a blessing to others. That is what Christmas is all about. Jesus is the one who will give you the strength to help others emotionally and bear their burdens. Now, look at verse 10 again, back in Luke chapter 2. After the angel says, "Be not afraid," he says, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Secondly, I want you to understand we can truly celebrate Christmas by bringing some hope and joy into others' lives. We can truly celebrate Christmas by bringing some hope and joy into others' lives. So the next thing we see the angel of the Lord say is, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." The Lord wanted to bring some hope and joy into some weary shepherds' lives. He wanted to bring some hope and joy into their lives. You know, without Him, without Jesus, this world will wear you down. You only need to look at the news for about 5 minutes to know that this place is a place of despair and hopelessness. We see wars and rumors of wars all around us. We see our world becoming increasingly more hostile to live in. We see people becoming more selfish and self-centered in everything they do. We see our world making those things which should be unimportant of great importance. Who's thinking about the ball game right now instead about Jesus? Understand what I'm saying? This is the world that we're living in. But I want you to know something. Jesus gives us a hope and a joy even though we have the world that we're facing right now. The Lord wants to bring hope and joy into your life. And He wants us to bring hope and joy into others' lives. He wants us to be able to spread this good news that all the world should hear, that will bring great joy to all the world. He is the source of our hope and joy. Jesus, even in the midst of trials in life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been through some trials in life. Anyone else here been through some trials in life? Amen. I think everybody has. Amen. We've all been through trials in life. I imagine the life, I'm reading a book about a life of a shepherd and how it relates to Psalm 23. And it's a wonderful book. Alina gave it to me. I'm almost finished with it. And it's a great illustration. It illustrates the life of a shepherd. And I want you to understand, the life of a shepherd was not easy back then. And it wasn't occupation that gave you a lot of hope. It was kind of like a dead-end job, okay? Well, Jesus made sure that the shepherds knew this good news. And he wants us to know this good news so that we can have joy even though we may face trials. I was encouraged by a passage of scripture. It's Romans chapter 5. You can turn there because I want you to dwell on this passage of scripture. I really do want us to dwell on this passage of scripture because herein lies the message of hope and peace and joy for each and every one of us. And when you feel down, when you feel overwhelmed by the trials of life, I want you to remember this passage of scripture. Romans 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint." See that? "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." You see, that's the hope that we have. It's that hope of Jesus Christ. By putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we will have hope so great, we will have peace and joy even in the midst of the most difficult times of our lives. That's what we're told here. We're told this hope in Jesus Christ is so awesome, so wonderful, that it will transcend all that goes on in our lives and give us a hope and a joy even in the midst of our trials. As a matter of fact, these trials will produce good in our lives. We will actually become better people as we face these trials with the hope of Jesus Christ in our lives. That is what we need to share with people. We need to share with people this hope. And when they are facing trials, when they're feeling down, we need to exhort them. We need to help them by giving them these glad tidings of great joy, by showing them that Jesus loves them so much that he gave them eternal life, and that even though they are facing these trials, God is going to work it out for their good and his glory. In Hebrews chapter 10, for time's sake, you don't have to turn there, but Hebrews chapter 10, it says this in verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, insomuch the more as you see the day approaching. Here we see the Lord telling us to consider others and exhort them in the hope of Jesus. This is how we celebrate Christmas. This is how we can celebrate Christmas. This is what the angel of the Lord did as he reached out to the shepherds. He gave them this hope, this great news about Jesus Christ that would give them joy and hope in their lives. And I believe as Christians, God wants us to do the same. He wants us to exhort others and encourage them to remember the hope they have in Jesus Christ. We can do that. We can help people emotionally. We can help them have joy and peace in their lives. Now, finally, we can truly celebrate Christmas by confirming the Savior to others. Here we see a clear proclamation back in Luke chapter 2. We see a clear proclamation from the angel of the Lord telling the shepherds of a Savior and where they can find them. Look at verse 11. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So we can truly celebrate Christmas by confirming the Savior to others. This is what God wants us to do in our lives. He wants us to tell others who Jesus is. He wants us to bring these glad tidings of great joy to these people. Romans chapter 10 once again tells us how we can do this. In verses 14 and 15 it says, "How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." That phrase is very similar to Luke chapter 2, isn't it? We are to bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things to others. We are the ones who are called to preach. Those who are trusting in Jesus are called to confirm the Savior to others, to point them in the direction of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we celebrate Christmas. That's how we truly celebrate Christmas. This will help us help people emotionally. It will help us give them joy and hope in their lives. And it will do what God has called us to do, to preach the word to all those who need to hear, to give the glorious gospel to those who need to hear, to tell others about the wonderful work that Jesus Christ did so that they can have hope even in the midst of emotional hardship, even in the trials of life, even in the despair that they see around them. That is what we need to see. We need to celebrate Christmas by caring about others. We can bring glad tidings of good things to others by telling them that Jesus Christ is the Savior. This is how we can truly celebrate Christmas. Let's ask the Lord to show us someone that we can help emotionally, that we can help have some hope and joy in their lives, that we can tell about Jesus Christ. Let's ask the Lord, do you believe that He will give you someone to help in this way if you ask Him? I'm telling you, He will. And you will be used by God in a great way. Let's ask His Holy Spirit to guide us as we celebrate Christmas in this way, by reaching out to others. This is a big part of what Christmas is all about. And I believe that's why God sent the angel of the Lord to the shepherds, to show that He cares about everybody, even those that might have been forgotten by society. He cares about those, and He wants to reach out to everyone, because the glad tidings that He brings are for all people. Let's pray.